Well, many thanks to JJ for reminding us that we need to stay on track. And so we're gonna do that now as we hear God's word together. We are continuing our sermon series, sort of loosely called Prophets 101, where we are looking at the Revised Common Lectionary, and we are intentionally choosing the passage from the Prophets and the passage from the Psalms. So far, if you remember this summer, so far we've heard from the prophet Hosea. We've heard from the greatest of all the prophets, Moses. And last week we started talking about the prophet Jeremiah. That was part one we heard from Jeremiah. Today is part two also from Jeremiah. If you recall, last week we talked about how Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, right? Crying or weeping prophet. That's because almost all of his prophecies were gloom and doom type prophecies. And because Jeremiah had these amazing conversations throughout the book, these conversations with God, where he gave this heartfelt plea to God, God, please don't make me say any of these things anymore, right? He was really torn up by it, and we talked about that last week. Last week, I also showed a painting of Jeremiah that I'd like to show you again. Now, if you would put it up there, please. Remember, this was the, it's dark, I know, I hope you can see it. This was the Rembrandt of Jeremiah called the Weeping Prophet. It's dark, right, symbolizing that he is indeed dark. His head is downcast. He's got his hand, his palm pressed against his face. This really exemplifies who Jeremiah was as the weeping prophet. Last week also, we heard about that confrontation that Jeremiah had with Pashur the priest. And we talked about how throughout his life of prophecy, Jeremiah dealt with some really serious pushback when he tried to proclaim God's word. And as I just mentioned a minute ago, we also heard one of those heartfelt conversations that Jeremiah had with God, and how God responded to Jeremiah as well. So today in this second part of this sermon series, we're going to hear about Jeremiah's battles with false prophets, okay? False prophets. And so the question we have before us today is, what is fake and what is real, right? And how do we tell them apart? You know, although we are separated from Jeremiah by thousands of years, we also confront this in our lives of faith, right? All the time. What is fake and what is real? So today I'm going to be reading Jeremiah 28, verses 1 through 17. Then I'm going to ask Mike to come up. He's going to read our psalm for the day, which is Psalm 89, selected verses. And once again, we're going to be reading today from the contemporary translation called The Message. But before we go to God's word, let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for keeping us on track with your word. We thank you for this time now that we get to listen intently to your word and learn from it. And so we pray that your spirit would move in and among and through us, Lord, helping our eyes to be opened through the words of the prophet Jeremiah. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 17. Again, this is from The Message. Later that same year, it was in the fifth month of King Zedekiah's fourth year, Hananiah, son of Azor, a prophet from Gibeon, confronted Jeremiah in the temple of God in front of the priests and all the people who were there. Hananiah said, "This message is straight from God of the angel armies, the God of Israel. Quote, I will most certainly break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Before 2 years are out, I'll have all the furnishings of God's temple back here. All the things that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, plundered and hauled off to Babylon. I'll also bring back Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles who were taken off to Babylon. God's decree. Yes, I will break the king of Babylon's yoke. You'll no longer be in harness to him. So the prophet Jeremiah stood up to prophet Hananiah in front of the priests and all the people who were in God's temple that day. Prophet Jeremiah said, "Wonderful! Would that it were true, that God would validate your preaching by bringing the temple furnishings and all the exiles back from Babylon. But listen to me and listen closely. Listen to what I tell both you and all the people here today. The old prophets, the ones before our time, preached judgment against many countries and kingdoms, warning of war and disaster and plague. So any prophet who preaches that everything is just fine and there's nothing to worry about stands out like a sore thumb. We'll wait and see. If it happens, it happens, and then we'll know that God sent him." At that, Hananiah grabbed the yoke from Jeremiah's shoulders and smashed it. Then he addressed the people. "This is God's message. In just this way, I will smash the yoke of the king of Babylon and get him off the neck of all the nations within 2 years." Jeremiah walked out. Later, sometime after Hananiah had smashed the yoke from off his shoulders, Jeremiah received this message from God. "Go back to Hananiah and tell him, this is God's message. You smashed the wooden yoke bars. Now you've got iron yoke bars. This is a message from God of the Angel Armies, Israel's own God. I've put an iron yoke on all these nations. They're harnessed to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. They'll do just what he tells them. Why, I'm even putting him in charge of the wild animals." So prophet Jeremiah told prophet Hananiah, "Hold it, Hananiah. God never sent you. You've talked the whole country into believing a pack of lies. And so God says, you claim to be sent, I'll send y'all right off the face of the earth. Before the year is out, you'll be dead because you instigated sedition against God." And the prophet Hananiah, he died that very year in the 7th month. Mike?
And now a reading from Psalm 89, verses 1 to 4 and 15 to 18. "Your love, God, is my song, and I'll sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. I'll never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos and guaranteed everything in it. Your love has always been our lives' foundation. Your fidelity has been the roof over our world. You once said, I joined forces with my chosen leader. I pledged my word to my servant David, saying, everyone descending from you is guaranteed life. I'll make your rule as solid and lasting as a rock. Blessed are the people who know the passwords of praise, who shout on parade in the bright presence of God. Delighted, they dance all day long. They know who you are, what you do. They can't keep it quiet. Your vibrant beauty has gotten inside us. You've been so good to us. We're walking on air. All we are and have, we owe to God, the holy God of Israel, our King. This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you, Mike. Let's bow our heads one more time. Gracious God, we have heard your word now. We have heard this showdown between your prophets from the book of Jeremiah. Lord, help us to understand these words today. Help us to differentiate the fake from the real in our lives, Lord, and help us to use your scripture to guide us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is a topic that literally everybody I know is talking about right now. I don't care what group I'm with at the moment. It's either my family, or it's friends of ours outside the church, or even in our last session meeting, we talked about this topic. The topic I'm talking about is ChatGPT, right? Or artificial intelligence. You have all heard about this by now. I was even driving to work the other day, and the radio show, the morning radio show that I listened to, said that they had given their entire morning show, it was like 4 hours or something, over to ChatGPT to write their show. So ChatGPT wrote their news stories, their jokes, their banter, the whole thing. Okay, they said it was fun, right? They were going to try it for fun, right? I hope it was fun for them. I hope it was. But sometimes artificial intelligence has unfortunate results. Most of you may remember that I was a lawyer in my former life, right? In my former life. And so sometimes I kind of keep an eye on interesting stories coming out of the legal world. And so it was just the other day that I was reading the story of the legal case of Mata versus Avianca Airlines. It's a personal injury suit filed by a man who was injured on an airplane. Seems that during the course of this case, the airline moved to have the case dismissed. And of course, the plaintiff responded by filing their brief in opposition, right? Typical procedural stuff. So in his brief, the plaintiff cited case law supporting his position. Of course he did. He cited the case of Martinez versus Delta Airlines, Zickerman versus Korean Airlines, and Varghese versus China Southern Airlines. The brief was wonderful, seemed airtight, seemed a sure winner. That is, until the airline's lawyers discovered an odd fact. They could not find any of the case law cited by the plaintiff. They could not find Martinez versus Delta Airlines, Zickerman versus Korean Airlines, or Varghese versus China Southern Airlines. And the court couldn't either. So the court ordered the plaintiff to submit copies of all of their cases and an affidavit swearing that this legal research had been properly done, okay? And the plaintiff complied, submitted copies of the cases. But it turns out that all of the cases submitted by the plaintiff did not exist. They were fake. The plaintiff's lawyers had used ChatGPT to do their legal research and to write their brief. ChatGPT had made up the cases, drafted fake opinions complete with fake quotes that supported the plaintiff's case. It was all fake. And the federal court was not amused. So the judge fined the plaintiff's attorneys, as you can imagine, for making false and misleading statements to the court. They also made the plaintiff's attorneys write letters of apology to each of the courts whose names were falsely usurped on those fake opinions. It's a good thing that the airline's lawyers did their due diligence, right? Did their digging and discovered these forgeries. Only with that amount of digging did they realize that these cases were fake. Otherwise, they could have lost their motion based on a pack of lies. Fake versus real. This is the issue that the prophet Jeremiah and all of the folks who are listening to him are faced with in today's reading. Who is telling the truth and who is not? Who is speaking for God and who is not speaking for God? Speaking for himself, we would say. Our scripture for today shows this showdown. I mean, it's a prophetic showdown between Hananiah and Jeremiah in the temple, in front of all the priests, in front of all the people. Now, if you recall from last week, we learned that Jeremiah's prophecies, most of them, were gloom and doom. Okay? He constantly said that the southern kingdom of Judah was going to fall to the Babylonians. He said that God's people would be carried off into exile and all their temple destroyed and all of their beautiful possessions carried away. Knowing this, Hananiah confronts Jeremiah in the temple, and Hananiah prophesies something directly opposite to what Jeremiah is saying, right? Opposite of gloom and doom. In verse 2, we hear this optimistic prophecy of Hananiah when he says, "This message is straight from God, the God of Israel. I will most certainly break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Before 2 years are out, I'll have all of the furnishings of God's temple back, all the things that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, plundered, and I'll also bring back Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all of the exiles that were carted off to Babylon." That was his prophecy, right? Yay, good news, wonderful, what a great prophecy. The exile is over, all of God's people are coming home, yay, right? Great news. I mean, who wouldn't want to believe this, right? Who wouldn't want to believe it? God's people were searching for hope in this dire situation. Everybody wanted to believe that the exiles were coming home soon and Judah would be restored to its former glory. Who wouldn't want to believe such good news? We all like good news, don't we? All of us. It's human nature to like good news. We want to be glass half full people, don't we? I mean, when I'm in the office, come on in and bring your good news to me. I love to hear it. Sometimes at the church, we hear about death and about illness, and of course, rightly so. But boy, bring us your good news. We love to celebrate you with you in the church. And in this era of the mega church, the basketball stadium church, the TV evangelist church, the prevailing message of the church is often that following Jesus is the way to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? If you believe in Jesus, only good things will happen to you. And if not, well, then it's your fault. You don't have enough faith, right? Because if you really believed, everything would be great. We call this the prosperity gospel. And according to Christianity Today magazine, it is preached in 38% of evangelical churches. Why? Because we love good news, right? We love good news. And we often flock to preachers who give it to us. But Jeremiah, he's having none of it, right? He is having none of it. When he hears this optimism coming from Hananiah, he says, "Great, I wish that were true. I really do. But listen to me and listen closely." He says, "The old prophets preached judgment against many, many countries. So any prophet who preaches that everything is just fine is going to stand out like a sore thumb." Then Hananiah, angered at this rebuke, goes over to Jeremiah and he grabs this yoke that Jeremiah was actually wearing on himself, a yoke like you would put on a couple of oxen or some horses, right, that were going to pull something. Well, Jeremiah was symbolically at this point wearing a yoke to symbolize the yoke that the Babylonians, the control, the hold that the Babylonians had over God's people at that time. And Hananiah walks over and he grabs that yoke from Jeremiah and he pulls it off and he smashes it on the floor. He's so mad. And then Jeremiah runs away. But later, God gives Jeremiah another prophecy to tell the people. And he says, "Babylon will remain in control for years. This is not going to change until God's people have been in exile for 70 years. They are not coming home anytime soon. Sorry." Then Jeremiah says, "Hold it, Hananiah. God never sent you. You've talked the whole country into a pack of lies. You claim to be sent, but before the year is out, you'll be dead." Ooh. And Hananiah died just a few months later. Fake versus real. How do we know fake versus real? How do we know when something is real or something is fake? In our scripture passage, well, the sort of the Pollyanna version of things, the prosperity gospel version of things, was the fake. Fake was saying what the people wanted to hear. But real was the one who listened for the Lord. I mean, today we still have charlatans popping up all the time, our Hananiahs of today, do we not? Folks who tell us that, oh man, this has happened so many times, who tell us that they know exactly the date and time of the end of the world, right? How many of these have come and gone? Folks who say that a certain politician comes directly from God, or folks who say that they themselves are a prophet from God, and say that the people must obey them. We just saw that back in April over in Kenya, when the bodies of the followers of a so-called prophet were found. This so-called prophet had told his followers to starve themselves to death. And they did. They did. But Jeremiah, he is the real thing. He bears all the signs of being a true prophet. He has a direct connection to God, those wonderful little vignettes of speaking, one of which we heard last week, right, where he communicates directly with God. Jeremiah speaks realistically, not in some Pollyanna fashion. And Jeremiah, he gives his whole life to prophesying for the Lord. I said last week about how Jeremiah had no wife, he had no kids, he had no friends, he had no family. He gave of himself fully to prophecy for the Lord, often in the face of suffering. Jeremiah was the real thing. And we also know he was real because his prophecies came true, right? Hananiah died, and Jeremiah's prophecy, sorry that it was, came true. But I also want to leave you today with one more reason why we know that Jeremiah was the real deal and not a fake. And that is because Jeremiah was one of the few prophets who was honored to prophecy of Christ. Okay? Now, I promised you last week that this part one and part two on Jeremiah, it was going to be a lot of gloom and doom, right? I warned you this. I don't write this stuff, right? I just talk about it. But I also promised that I would end on an upbeat note, on a positive prophecy from Jeremiah. And I'm going to do that now. For the single most important concept that Jeremiah left us with in his prophecies was the promise of the new covenant. Okay, capital N, capital C, new covenant. In chapter 31, we hear these words. This is, again, God speaking through Jeremiah. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant, says God, with Israel and Judah. It will not be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of Egypt. They broke that covenant. They broke it. Even though I did my part as their master. No, this is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. I'll wipe the slate clean for each one of them. I'll forget that they ever sinned. What a prophecy, right? The prophecy of the new covenant in Christ. The covenant that Jesus instituted when he got up on that cross and died for our sin. The covenant based not on tablets of stone, but based on love and grace and mercy. The covenant that says that the Spirit of Christ will live in our hearts and help us to follow God. The covenant that washes our sin away. The covenant that we will celebrate at this table behind me in just a couple of minutes. Pay attention when Pastor Derek gets up there, right? And he holds that cup in the air and he says, friends, this is the cup of the new covenant. That's Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah's words echoing over the centuries. The cup of the new covenant. Friends, Jeremiah is the real deal. For all the reasons I stated before, but mainly because he prophesied the coming of Christ. Yes, most of his prophecies were gloom and doom. Yes, they were. But his prophecy was so true, true with a capital T, when he told us of the coming of Christ in the new covenant. Let's remember him for that. Praise be to the God of Jeremiah. Amen.